Let me invite you to turn to Titus chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 8. And here Paul writes to his fellow pastor, his child in the faith that he's been mentoring and training, about how to train God's people in trusting Him, following Him, what it means to receive of God. And he especially talks then about the goodness and loving kindness of God. And so that's what we're looking at as this fruit of the Spirit. What does the Spirit do in us? He bears this fruit, bearing in us the fruit of kindness. So Titus 3, 3 through 8. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. May God bless then the reading and hearing and teaching of this, His holy word. So, of course, the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to remind us of a tree. And a tree has roots, and if it's healthy, it has good fruit. So the tree then bearing good fruit, the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and today kindness. And so look before we start, why 6 points? Okay, that's kind of a lot, Michael. Well, because of the cycle, the circle that I hope you'll see in this. So if I could have done this, I would have put a circle in to lead us from the beginning all the way back around to the beginning again, of how the roots lead to the fruit. So the circle of the fruit of kindness, and out of this passage, God's kindness leads to His mercy, through His grace, leading to salvation, leading to hopefulness of eternal physical life ourselves, which leads then to our good works. Okay? All the way around here in a circle. So we're going to look then at the cause of kindness, the cause of our kindness, and what does this kindness look like? Okay? First, the root of kindness. The root of our own kindness to others is by going deep into the dark, unseen, under the surface soil where the roots grow, our undeservedness. Okay. God plants His seed into this dark place. Okay. And then what happens? A tree grows, right? Our kindness towards others is not because of anything that we've done, right? It's because we don't deserve it that God is kind to us. And the root of our kindness to others is by remembering His mercy to us. And so those of you on the mercy team remember this, and in the diaconate too, we often talk about this. Our kindness to others can easily become paternalistic or judgmental if we forget this. We really were, verse 3, okay? We really were slaves to various passions and pleasures. We really were disobedient and foolish. We were full of malice and envy before Christ. We have nothing to give but His loving kindness displayed in us and through us. And so that leads to the surprise of kindness. Kindness like this, that is unexpected, that's full of grace, has a too good to be trueness to it. And think about Christmas time. Okay, we get a bit of this at Christmas time when we're overwhelmed with awe and wonder and the mystery and the celebration of God being born as a human. Really, he came down in his holiness to be with us, to be one of us, and then a baby, right? The surprise of the incarnation. And Paul gives it to us here again through this one word, appeared, right there at the end of verse 4. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, see, a light came on. There's a suddenness to it, a contrast. And look at Paul, too. He's inside this, right? He has this awe, this wonder, this celebration. And so see the contrast between verse 3 and verse 4. I mean, Paul knew, right? He was in that darkness. The darkness from which we came, and then the light dawned on us. And Paul is speaking here. He's not just arguing. He's not just giving a seminary class to Titus. He's not just explaining, but he stands in it. He says, us, okay? When he saved us, okay? So that being justified by his grace, verse 7, we might become. God's kindness is still surprising to him. Is God's kindness still surprising to you? And so this is the hope for the church and for the world to be renewed, to be revived in God's kindness by the surprise of it. That's why Paul says, insist on these things. They are excellent and profitable for people. Well, how? Because of the practical. Kindness is going above and beyond. Above and beyond even your own expectations. So you know when you are displaying spirit-rooted and spirit-inspired and spirit-driven kindness when it's surprising to you and to others. So think of a time. Think of a time recently, when you were kind to someone and there was a hint of a surprise in it, that's designed by God to show you that it's His fruit that's being born. It's not you just being nice. And this is what Paul is marveling in. See, nothing but this undeserved gift that we are justified, that we are made legally right, but more than that, really. Look at verse 7. That we might become heirs, the shock then of what salvation means and offers and brings as it satisfies all of our deepest longings. Really? I can have this? Yes. Reminds me of that old hymn that we sometimes sing. All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah! He has found me, the one my soul so long has craved. And it is this surprising grace that propels the good works of kindness. Now, it's surprising also because it's so strong. So the strength of kindness, next. I was reminded of, I was younger in ministry, and I was in a different presbytery, and I would go to presbytery meetings, and I would encounter this guy who was gentle and slow and patient and kind, and he actually noticed me and spoke to me sometimes. And I said to one of my mentors, I was like, you know, presbytery meetings, I mean, some of these guys, I don't know, it seems like they're posturing. and they're hard to approach. But then this guy, and he said, yeah, he doesn't have to be. He's strong and full of kindness. And what you may not know about him, Michael, is he was a special forces chaplain. And before that, he was a special forces operator who saw combat. He knows he is strong. And that is something of the strength of kindness that God wants to give all of us. When you know that your roots are deep and firm and solid and not planted by you, see, planted by the author of all strength. That kindness that flows from you is the strength of God's kindness. Kindness then towards others has nothing to prove. See, it just is. It is the fruit of the Spirit bearing fruit in our lives. See? So be strong and courageous with the kindness that God has given you. It matters not at all how people receive your kindness. That's not up to you. And so repent of that. Repent of, you know, calculating and posturing and pondering what people will think. God knows how strong His kindness is, certainly. As Blake was reminding us, Romans 2, verse 4, God's kindness is what leads us to repentance. The hardest thing in all the world, but the most important to be required of all Christians. Real repentance comes from God's kindness. And then later in Romans 11, Paul says we must continue in His kindness. And that means abiding in it, depending on it, betting your life on the kindness of God, so that if you don't have this kindness, you have nothing. And so because God's kindness is strong, and because the kindness of the fruit of the Spirit is strong, what does it do? It overflows. It bursts out. It's fruitful. It's bounteous. And it subdues and overcomes the works of the flesh. See? So the root of kindness, the surprise, the strength, and now the sacrifice of kindness. Kindness requires sacrifice. God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior, applied by the Holy Spirit. See what Paul is doing? Giving us this Trinitarian strength of the sacrifice of what God has done. And how did He do it? How did He save us? By showing us the way? Or by being the way? The sacrifice of Jesus was required in order for us to be saved. And so that takes us back to the root, which then leads us to the circle of displaying the fruit. When we resemble Jesus, we are kind like Him. We can't help it. But the sacrifice, kindness is costly. Kindness is risky. Kindness requires surrendering something that we could keep to ourselves. Wait a minute. I have done a lot to acquire, to accumulate, to work hard, to earn all that I have. Well, yes, that's true. And so then, don't you see how all the more essential it is that kindness like this has to be a fruit of the Spirit? It's not you working it up. So, for example, kindness requiring something costly, requiring you to surrender something that you could keep to yourselves, it is a kindness to correct someone. It's a kindness to bring up the idea of sin and hell. It's a kindness to challenge people who believe in work salvation. Not just be nice, not just go along, right? So I have some some friends outside Altadena that I hang out with sometimes, and we were having a conversation, and we were about to leave, and my friend said, it was funny, it was like, we had this communication just through our eyes, and I knew he was about to say something. He was like, you know, what I was about to say to you, Michael, was, you know, be good now. You know, that Southern, I can't remember the word, but the opposite of greeting, the Southern when you say goodbye, salutation maybe, y'all be good now, you know, take care, y'all be good. And he looked at me and I was like, yeah, you know that you can't be good. And he's like, yeah. Did he really know? It's like, we can't be good. Only Jesus is good. But you know what I could have done? I could have just said, oh, yeah, man, yeah, you be good too. You know, yeah, be good. See ya. Just to have been nice. You know, but it was just that moment that God gave me a kindness to him. And so this is how we know the difference between kindness and niceness. Kindness is willing to risk offense so that washing can even happen. If there's nothing wrong, there's no reason for washing. Right? Paul is pointing out the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, see? And so when we give of ourselves expecting nothing in return, that is when you know you have great assurance, the evidence of kindness. So the root, the surprise, the strength, the sacrifice, the assurance of kindness. This is proof that you really are a Christian, not just a nice person. You're doing something for the benefit of someone else, from a heart that has been transformed by the kindness of God, not from a selfish heart that wants payback for the good deed of the day. This is why it's excellent and profitable. Okay, and how? Because kindness as a fruit of the Spirit protects you. Protects you from legalistic, works righteousness, good personness. Like just wearing a Be Kind t-shirt. No. Our kindness to others is rooted in God's kindness to us. There is no other way to be biblically kind. Kindness is too hard. It takes too much out of you. It demands too much for you to just, quote unquote, be kind. If you are being kind so that you meet a standard that you have set up in your own mind, you know, I'm a kind person, and therefore God will accept me. That is not Christianity. That is self-salvation, which has no need for Christ. But transformed lives lead to the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that is born by the Spirit, of course, not of the flesh. See. Look again at verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. It's all His work. There was a season in my Christian life years ago where I was really wrestling with assurance of salvation. Am I even really a Christian? And I had a friend that was helping me and struggling with me through it, and something he said finally just clicked for me. He said, have you ever done anything from love for another person besides yourself? And I was like, oh, okay. There was something. There was a little hint of love that didn't come from me. Right? It came from the Spirit's work in me. So this is evidence for you, for all of us, of a transformed, changed life from the outside upon you. And this then propels you to more. Because you recognize, oh, it's not me. And therefore, I want to do more good works. I want to display God's grace. I want to display His mercy. I want more of this. God, if you can change me, let's do this some more. Not to earn His favor, but to display His favor. Not to earn His grace, but to put it on display for others to see. This is excellent and profitable for people, see? For ourselves and for society. So let's go start more hospitals. Start more churches. Start more charities. Let's stay with people. Let's not give up on anyone. And then this leads to the last point, the question of kindness. Can you receive? As Brad often reminds us, this is the verbal activity of what it means to be a Christian. Receiving. Surrendering to His kindness. Opening yourself to His kindness. When you receive someone's kindness, it gives them a gift back by simply receiving it. Okay. Have you ever had someone, this happened to me recently, not anybody in our church, where I did something that was a kind action to somebody and immediately they dropped some poison in it. How did they drop some poison in it? By giving me something back immediately. Maybe you have a tendency towards that. Maybe you have a difficulty with that. Paying people back could be rooted in not wanting to owe anyone anything. It could be that you can't receive at all, that you can't feel indebted to someone, that maybe you have a blockage towards receiving a no-strings-attached kindness. Well, how is that blockage broken up? By the kindness of God, right? By the kindness of God, which then overflows into kindness towards others through good works, which are good because they come back around the circle and they reflect the kindness of God and bring glory to Him instead of glory to the person who did it. It even bypasses the person. You. So you close the last section of the circle of kindness by receiving God's kindness for you. And then you begin the circle again because you're just propelled into good works of kindness towards others. Now you can only give what you have been given. You can only give what you have. You can only give what you have received. The Christian message is that you have nothing but death to give before the kindness of God our Savior appeared. Right? This is what verse 3 is saying. And this is stark. This is controversial. It certainly would have been to the people that Titus was ministering to. Earlier in the book, it says, you know, about all these things about the Cretans on the island of Crete, that they are just filled with their own overflow of works of the flesh, and they just revel in their ill behavior and their evil behavior. And one of their own poets just basically calls them idiots. You know, this is just who they are. And it's controversial still today, right? What do you mean I can't do things my own way? You're saying there's something wrong with that? What's wrong with having my own moral code and being a decent person in my own eyes? Well, it's because God says that you need something totally new, a totally new heart, totally new roots, so that He can display His tree and His fruit in and through you. And so we conclude today wonderfully with the Lord's table, right? Which asks us, can you receive? May God prepare us, enable us to receive again from Him. Let's pray together. O Lord, we praise and thank You for Your goodness and loving kindness. Oh Lord, make it all the more beautiful to us, even in its mystery, the surprise of it. Make it more glorious and celebrated to us. Empower such kindness to equip us and enable us to overflow with your fruit of your Spirit in kindness and goodness, mercy towards others. That we would see, that we would notice, that we would be assured of the evidence of your work in and through us, the assurance of our own salvation, that it is your work, not ours, and that we would crave more of it to put on display your mercy, your grace, your kindness. Do this, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, in and through us, for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.